Welcome to A World Powerfully Transformed, a new podcast from Unity on Cape Cod. We are creating community, celebrating love, and transforming lives. In this special series, we will bring you exciting, positive spiritual teachings, as well as thought-provoking interviews with guests from a diverse spectrum of the greater community. Now let us join Reverend Tony for this week's presentation.
Welcome to the Unity on Cape Cod podcast. I'm Reverend Tony Cryer, the spiritual leader here at Unity on Cape Cod. We are part of Unity Worldwide Ministries, which has a vision of a world powerfully transformed by the growing movement of our shared spiritual awakening. Each week, I will be bringing you special guests, and we'll be talking about current issues and topics that are impacting our lives and how we can take a spiritual approach to transforming our world. So welcome. Come on in. Good morning. Welcome back to A World Powerfully Transformed. We are so happy to have a special guest here today, Kathy Smith Brown. Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you, Tony.
Kathy's a longtime member of Unity, licensed marriage and family therapist. She founded the Center for Family Therapy here on Cape Cod 32 years ago. And we're just really happy to have her. The reason that I wanted to have you today, Kathy, is I was reading something in Myrtle Fillmore's book, How to Let God Help You. And I was reading it about, it's in the chapter 30 called Your Living Service. And it's about the work that we do. And I wanted to talk to you today about how we use spiritual principles in our work. So just to start us off, I'd like to read a little from Myrtle Fillmore. Myrtle said, "Your work, as you no doubt realize, is not for the purpose of satisfying your own physical needs. These are supplied as gifts from the Father, Mother, God. Work of whatever nature is to render living service in obedience to the law of giving and receiving. For you, it is for the purpose of expressing your God-given faculties. Our work is our means of expressing what God is unfolding through us." Of course, as a minister, I really can easily say my work is for expressing my God-given faculties and to express God through me. But I was interested in how others and other folks use Unity principles and this divine law of giving and receiving in their daily work. So could you talk a little bit about that with us, Kathy, how you use Unity principles in your work?
Certainly. When you were reading that, I realized that as a therapist, it's everything I am that I bring into relationship. And since I work mostly with couples, it's everything I am that I bring into relationship with each person in the couple. So it's clearly that I can actually earn a living relating and helping people grow out of their stuck places so that they can emerge as two more evolved people who can then relate in a more evolved way and then relate to their children in a more evolved way and then their sisters and their brothers and their parents. And it, I would say that just like Unity, my mission is to change the world, to transform the world. One couple or sometimes one person at a time.
That is so awesome. I truly believe that is each and every one of our gifts in life is that we've been given a calling. And so do you feel that this was your calling in life to express God as a therapist?
Since I wasn't able to be a concert pianist and a singer, which was a fantasy without talent. Yes. No, you know, I've been doing this for 35 years or so, and it's not work. You know, I feel very, very blessed that I can keep doing this because I absolutely love it, and I do see people become more aware. And that's, you know, that's what they need to do. They need to not be so stuck in the pain, really, of their earlier experiences, the thoughts, the beliefs, the behavior patterns and the patterns of feelings that they bring into their couple. So helping them kind of step back with me and look at the patterns and recognize that, you know, they're not those thoughts, feelings, beliefs, or reactions, that they're way more than that. Mm. So, you know, unity principles and my work really complement each other, or really they're the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hear you saying two things that I would love to delve into a little bit deeper. What I hear you saying now is you help people discover their own divine nature without calling it that per se, but the light within them is there behind or underneath their story. And we spoke about this the last time we talked, is how you get beyond that story to seeing what is. Do you see that as part of the transformation that you speak of?
Most definitely. And I, like you said, I can't always, depending on the couple, I have to start where they are. So I often don't use religious terms or spiritual terms, but I call it the self. Mm. You know, the
excellent
self,
yeah.
The self, the observer self, mm-hmm. which I started using many, many years ago, long before I was in Unity. But the observer self, you know, it's not your feelings, it's not your thinking. And I'll use examples like, so when you say, well, you know, part of me wants this and part of me wants that, you know, who's the me? Well, the me isn't the parts that are struggling inside me. And it's like, if you can notice you have an itch, you're not the itch.
Right.
If you can notice you had a dream, you're not your dream. So I get people to step back and recognize that there is something, and I call it the self or the higher self. I'll give you a funny example. I had this couple who, they were locked into an argument. And truly it was the painful experiences of one being triggered and the painful experience of the other, and they were locked in this. And so without giving them any background, I said, so would you let that very angry part of you sit over there? And would you let the part of you that's overwhelmed and have gone into your cave sit over there? And would you talk to each other from your very best selves? And they said, okay. And they didn't even know what I was doing, but they did know. Intuitively knew, they knew that the part of them that was so angry and the part of them that was so overwhelmed and hiding was not their real selves. And they actually had a conversation, you know, on a higher level, at least in my office. So they had an experience of being that observer self. That's largely what I have to do.
That is excellent. That is really, to me, very important to notice that we have a higher self, first of all, and that we can speak from that higher self. We can speak from wisdom and compassion and love and empathy. And I think always our higher self will speak if we allow it to. And will represent us if we, like you say, step back and allow it to have its place in guiding our lives. That is really excellent story there that you just told me about that particular couple. What it sparks in me is something I was reading. I just would like to share with you, Kathy, something from the five principles that I read just this morning that struck me as very appropriate for this conversation. It's in the third chapter, Co-Creating with God. And it's, of course, coming from the third principle that we create our experience by the activity of our thinking. If we're thinking, like you say, from our higher self or our real self, I would call it, how much more wonderful will our relationships become? So this is Ellen Davenport, and she's speaking directly to what you're talking about. If we truly have the ability to create our experience on this earth, think how much more quickly we can evolve. Think of all the good we can do, the healings we can manifest, the peace we can bring about. We don't create perfectly yet. We don't even create well most of the time, she says. But the knowledge that thoughts and feelings can determine our reality lifts us to a new level of human awareness. We can begin to make changes as individuals, as family groups, as nations, and the human race, simply by changing the focus of our attention. And I think that that line, as family groups, made me think of you and the work that you do. And what you spoke of before was changing the level of our human awareness, or what you said was evolved awareness or evolved consciousness. Could you speak a little bit about that? Just perhaps in your own life as well, of how you see this the human consciousness evolving.
I think that there are groups all over the world that the focus is stepping out of the painful experiences of our younger parts, of our younger lives. I see families who, the parents, which are the architects of the families, I see them carrying pain from their younger lives that they don't have any sense is running the show. But I also see people carrying pain of their parents, of their grandparents, almost like of their heritage. I have, you know, so that when people recognize that that pain, which are beliefs, attitudes, interpretations, feelings, when they realize that it's not now, that it's old. Sometimes it's old because they had a traumatic childhood, but sometimes it's old because their parents have handed it to them and they have been willing to absorb the chaos and the pain of their families, of their parents' relationships or their grandparents' relationships. So when they can, I say to them all the time, I want you to step back with me and kind of look at it as though it's a game, not particularly a fun game, but that it's a game with rules and patterns. And once you see that, that's almost all you have to do is become aware of this is what shaped me. And I didn't make a choice about that, but I have the right to make a choice of that now.
Excellent.
And I think that's happening in couples, that's happening in individuals, but I think it's also happening, I think I've mentioned to you in the past, I see it in the 12-step programs, all the 12-step programs. That's part of their goal, is to step back and to, they use terminology that I don't necessarily use. They use defense mechanisms, and I say survival skills.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Because we have used what was our best choices at earlier times in our lives, and sometimes they don't match what's a good choice now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I see pockets of evolving all over the world.
Excellent. Yeah, I do too. And I see unity basically as this incredible opportunity to develop new strategies for living from a spiritual perspective, to maybe replace those survival mechanisms with spiritual principle. Do you see that possible in folks who are carrying around a lot of pain?
Absolutely. And it, you know, the most important part of it, the essential part of it, is to become aware. Just to step back and notice how I developed survival skills. One of the things that is very interesting is if you can get people to see their survival skills not as bad habits, but as absolutely the best choice they could have made at that point in their life and in that circumstance, so they start, you know, applauding their survival skills and then retiring their survival skills.
Oh, excellent. Wow, that's very positive. I think that sometimes folks can beat themselves up for carrying on cycles of pain because they haven't learned new skills. But applauding those skills and then retiring them, what a great concept. That's really a wonderful process.
It's respectful. We often don't respect the old, painful, maybe very dysfunctional habits of behavior and thought that we had, but they came from the conditioning of our childhoods, most of them, or our adolescence. And it's like I sometimes tell a little story, because people think they should be more mature when they're sometimes a parentified child at 10, and they got into a habit of behavior at 10 years old. And it's like saying to your child, I used to say to my son when he was little, he would do something silly. I'd say, "Oh, Billy, you're being so childish." And he'd look at me and go, "But Mom, I am a child." And then I'd go, "Oh, right, I forgot." So that's what I say to people. It's like that little joke I had with my son. We do to ourselves all the time. We think we should be more mature than we know how to be. And we beat ourselves up about that. And it's really a matter of, those were survival skills that I picked up, the very absolutely best I could have at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
They're not working so well anymore.
Right, right.
So let them go.
Yeah, and it's hard, I think, for us to let those skills go when they saved our lives at one point. And I often talk about breaking the cycle of pain, breaking the cycle of abuse or victimization. And it's not easy to drop the victim attitude or the feeling of being a victim when you have been a victim. And I think those skills that we picked up at that time, as you said, they need to be acknowledged and loved and retired and take on some new skills. It's like getting a new job. You drop all the things you learned about that old job, and you're learning new skills to perform your new career or your new work. And so in life, I feel it's the same way. And for me, Unity has given me a lot of new skills to do that. And I feel like I would love to talk a little more in the time we have about how do you see these principles that we're learning in Unity transferring not just to your work, but perhaps to the greater community. I know we see pockets of it, but as Ellen Debenport said, not only in our family groups or as individuals, but in our nation and in our world. Do you see these universal principles spreading out at this point? Or some people are very pessimistic when they turn on the TV and they see what's going on. And I would just like to add a little optimism here today. Do you have any optimistic perspective on that?
I think it's one person at a time. You know, most of the time, based on my work with Unity and, you know, my spiritual readings, you know, I can look at the drama of the ego that's going on in the world and recognize that historically, the world was not ready for the masters that came in the past, 2,000 years ago, 2,500 years ago. We weren't ready, and it was stamped out. Any awareness of the spiritual realm was stamped out. It was taken over and made more human, and it was just destroyed by the major religions in the world. But I see that that is not happening. I see that people are leaving the more traditional religions, but they're moving into spirituality. Do I want it to be faster? I do. But I think we are absolutely better off spiritually right now in 2021 than we were even 10 years ago. You've got to look at the progress with racism, the progress with as the generations come up, the young people are not tolerant of the prejudice and the the pain being inflicted on, say, the poor.
Mm-hmm.
So there is, I see a mass evolving. I'd like to see it in my lifetime. I think it's probably not going to happen in this particular lifetime for me, but I think we are moving towards an evolved planet, and we better do it fairly quickly. But I do see it. I see it in families, individuals, groups, and I think across the board.
Yes, I see it too. Thank you for that, Kathy, because I think the acknowledgement of the inherent goodness of the individual, the inherent equality of the individual, is at its core a spiritual principle. And so I see it in our interfaith groups. I see it in a lot of what we have called traditional religions also, that they are also changing from within. It may not be as evident as it is in unity, because we're very open about saying we're here to acknowledge the divinity within you and inspire you to bring forth your God self. Those kinds of words aren't spoken freely in the traditional communities. However, I do find it very welcomed from the spiritual leaders, the ministers, rabbis that I talk with, that this idea is universal. And so I see it infiltrating, like you say, the individuals that are part of what we would have previously called traditional religions. So I find that even there, it is changing on an individual level and at a foundational level, coming back to this inherent oneness that we share. I think that no matter where you go, if we can come into an experience of oneness, not just talk about it, then we're well on the way to this evolved consciousness that we talk about. The thing that I would love to share with you today is this poem that I brought, because it does speak to our shared divinity in a wonderful way. And it's called Hidden Mystery. I just found it in my office the other day. It was in one of my books. It just fell out when I opened the book. And it's from this website called weboflove.org. So maybe we could just wrap up our conversation here today. We've been speaking today with Kathy Smith Brown, who's a longtime member and a longtime board president here at Unity on Cape Cod. And she has also founded the Center for Family Therapy here on Cape Cod. We're so grateful, Kathy. Thanks for joining us today.
I'm delighted.
And let's end with this beautiful poem called Hidden Mystery. In the deepest depths of you and me, in the deepest depths of we, lies the most beautiful jewel, shining forth eternally. Within that precious jewel, within that priceless piece of we, lies a time beyond all time, lies a place beyond all space. Within that sacred source of radiance lies a love beyond all love, waiting, waiting, waiting ever so patiently, waiting for you, waiting for me, waiting patiently for all to see the beauty that is you inside of me, the beauty that is me inside of thee. In the deepest depths of you and me, in the deepest depths of we, lies the love and wisdom of all eternity. Thank you for joining us on A World Powerfully Transformed. We're so grateful. And we'll see you again soon, Kathy. Thanks for joining us.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, each and every one, for tuning in to this special edition of A World Powerfully Transformed, a Unity on Cape Cod podcast. If you would like to support this program or find out more about Unity on Cape Cod and our Sunday services, please visit our website, unityoncapecod.org, or stop by our spiritual center at 147 Walton Ave in Hyannis, Mass. We would love to get to know you. Be blessed and remember to be a blessing. This podcast was made possible in part through a grant from Unity Worldwide Ministries and the Templeton Foundation.